Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. My name's Norman and I'm part of the leadership team of Alive Christian Ministries. We pray that you will be blessed this morning as you join with us in singing praise to our God and King and listening to his word together.
You are an amazing God.
it can't have escaped your attention over the last week with the unrest that we've seen on the streets of cities around the world, that we have a world that not only is dealing with the effects of lockdown and coronavirus, but is also desperately in need of hope and peace. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are Lord of peace, that you are Lord of all, and that it's only in you we find hope. Father, we lift those to you who are grieving. Father, we lift those to you who are sick and in need of a touch from your hand. And we say, in your mercy, Lord Jesus, reach out and heal. Father, we thank you for, in this country, for the NHS, for all the doctors, the nurses, all the support staff, Father, that are caring for those, not only with the coronavirus and the effects of that, Lord, but also with the ongoing illnesses and other things that people are afflicted with. Once again, Father, we thank you for them and we ask that you would pour out your blessing. You would protect all the medical staff and you would bring healing. Father, we do pray for peace in our streets, Lord. Father, we do pray, Lord, that we would see a society where everybody is respected, everybody is honoured, that nobody is disadvantaged or put down because of who they are or where they have come from, what language they speak, what colour their skin is, but that we would be live in a society that is free and works for the good of all. We lift our government to you, Lord, and we ask again that you would pour out your spirit upon them, that they would know wisdom and guidance. They would have humility to listen to the voices of the people of this land, and that they would have courage to do the right things, the things that promote peace and health and liberty for all. Most of all, Father, we ask that you would give them guidance as to how to bring an end to this lockdown, how to bring about normality, that we would see a land where you, Lord Jesus, are lifted high, where you, Lord Jesus, are honoured as the only true God, the one who can save, the one who can set us all free, the only one who can heal. So, Father, we thank you that you alone are Lord, and we ask by your Holy Spirit you would anoint and equip everybody in positions of leadership. Father, we thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for Jesus, that he is our hope, that he is the life that we have, that we rejoice in. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Please join me in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Give me vision to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do, and I will love you, Lord, my strength. From just what to do.
Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land.
A bus driver and a church minister were standing in line waiting to get into heaven. The bus driver approached the gate and St. Peter said, "Welcome, I understand you are a bus driver. And since I'm in charge of housing, I believe I have found the perfect place for you. See that mansion over the hilltop? It's yours." The minister heard all this and began to stand a little taller. He said to himself, "If a bus driver got a place like that, just think what I'll get." The minister approached the gate and St. Peter said, "Welcome. I understand you were a minister. See that shack in the valley?" St. Peter had just got the words out of his mouth when the shocked minister said, "I was a minister. I preached the gospel. I helped teach people about God. Why does that bus driver get a mansion and I get a shack?" Sadly, St. Peter responded, "Well, it seems when you preached, people slept. But when the bus driver drove, people prayed." Let me ask you a question. How much time do you spend on your knees? Don't take it literally. For many of us, it would take the rest of the week for us to get up again, even with the help of a walking frame. I mean it figuratively. Let me put it another way. How much time do you spend a day in prayer? 10 minutes? 20 minutes? An hour? How much time is enough? How much time should we spend in prayer? You know, I think it all depends on whether we treat prayer as a spare wheel or as a steering wheel in our lives. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Now, obviously, praying without ceasing is impossible for us. So what's God saying? Prayer should not be a time-limited event, but a lifestyle based on our relationship with Father God. Listening and talking with God throughout the day and even in the night. I believe God longs for a greater level of relationship, a deeper level of intimacy. He doesn't just want our relationship limited to a certain time slot every day, or for some people, a certain time slot once a week. He wants to be part of our daily lives, talking, listening, walking, living. He wants to be part of our life journey, to live each day of our lives with us, joined together inseparable, a life devoted to each other. Proverbs 3:5 tells us, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. When we pray, we need to talk with God, not just to him or at him. And remember, prayer is a conversation with God based on relationship. A conversation has to be two ways. Otherwise, it's just a monologue. Sometimes we need to be quiet and just listening. I remember a senior pastor and praying with him, and this senior pastor hated the sound of silence. And when he prayed, he would pray on and on and on and on. And one day I was praying with him and I felt God saying, tell pastor to be quiet. And I thought to myself, I can't tell him that. He's the senior pastor. And the senior pastor carried on praying on and on and on and on. And again, God said, tell the pastor to be quiet. I have something to say. And so I took my courage in both hands and interrupted the senior pastor. And I said, pastor, I believe God is telling you to shut up. He wants to say something. And in that silence, God spoke a powerful word to both of us. As Stephen said last week, we shouldn't approach God with a shopping list of our wants and our needs. And so often we go before Father God and say, I want, I want, I want, I need, I need, I need. Do you know there's a time for personal, private prayer? A time of opening our hearts and our minds in a place of safety. Matthew 6, verse 6 says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. But today I want to talk about corporate prayer. There's a time when we can come together as like-minded people to pray for certain situations. When we come together to do spiritual warfare. And I don't mean those meetings where we all sit in a circle, very politely, taking it in turns to pray. And hoping against hope that someone doesn't pray that prayer you've just formulated in your mind. And there are those in those prayer meetings that won't say anything at all in case we make a fool of ourselves, you know, using the wrong words or the wrong scriptures and calling down the wrath of the meeting leader. As a young Christian, I would sit in the prayer meeting just listening, not saying a word. And one dear lady asked me after a meeting, pastor, why are you so quiet during the prayer meeting? My answer to her was, well, I can't pray like you and the others. She replied to me, and who are you praying to? The people gathered here? Or to him, to Father? You have an audience of one. And that is Father God. You are praying to him, not to those around you. We're called to pray together, to use one of the weapons in our armory against the enemy. So often we see a battle against the physical, against a person. But the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Again, it's corporate prayer. It says, for we do not wrestle. It doesn't say for you do not wrestle, for we do not wrestle. When we pray for our villages, our towns, our cities, our nation, It's corporate prayer. And we don't have to wait our turn. We need to call out to God as one people. We need to realize the power there is in praying together. Praying together as God's people, not as Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Anglicans, etc., 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 but as God's people. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says this: if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. If my people, my people, my people. You know the power of one person praying. One person praying can bring salvation. One person praying can heal the sick. One person praying can raise the dead. Imagine the power of corporate prayer. Imagine a whole church praying together with one mind in the will of God. Can you imagine a prayer meeting finishing like this in 2 Chronicles 7:1-3? It says this: when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Imagine being in a prayer meeting like that. When we come together again as a church, and we will, we need to remember we have a great God, an awesome Saviour, and a powerful Holy Spirit who will action our prayer made in God's will and in Jesus' name. You want to know what the will of God is? Then talk with him. Listen to him. Read or listen to your Bible. Incidentally, do you know that you're being prayed for right now? Romans 8:26-27 and Romans 8:34. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And in Romans 8:34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who even at the right hand of God makes intercession for us. Can you imagine that? The Holy Spirit and Jesus interceding on our behalf. That's awesome, amazing, that's powerful. You know, we often want someone with a special anointing to pray for us, and we're supposed to stand and pray for one another. But don't ever lose sight of the truth that the Holy Spirit and Jesus are interceding on our behalf. I was in a prayer meeting once with Colin Urquhart, and there was a prayer line of, I don't know, 100, 150 people. And we were working our way along the prayer line praying. And one particular woman in that prayer line kept moving. Every time Colin Urquhart moved, she moved to stand in front of him. Moved again and again. And Colin turned to me and said, pray for that woman. I said, I've tried praying for that woman, Colin. She doesn't want me to pray for her. She wants you to pray for her. Colin went over and spoke to the woman and said, every person here is capable of praying for you. How about you? Are you capable of praying for the person in the room with you? Your neighbor? Your friends? Know that the Holy Spirit is with you when you pray. Don't hold back on your prayer. You have a powerful weapon, a weapon that can defeat the enemy. Prayer, powerful prayer, is a weapon that we as a church need to use for our village, our town, our cities, and our nation. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you love us so much that you sent your Son to die for us, who even now is at your right hand, interceding, praying for each of us. Father, let us never lose sight that you are for us and not against us. This is the confidence we have in approaching you, that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And if we know that you hear us, whatever we ask, we know that what we have asked of you. Father, it's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by your Spirit. Amen.
Slain for the sins of the world, his blood breaks the
can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord?
Praise sealed the promise, your buried body began to breathe out of the silence. The roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe out of the silence. The roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
I pray that you have been blessed during our time together this morning. Remember that if you need prayer, then to contact the Alive Prayer Chain via the email address that is on the webpage. Also, we will be delighted to see you for coffee at 11:30 this morning following this service. The Zoom number will be on the screen. If we don't see you for coffee, then we look forward to sharing a time of ministry and worship with you again next Sunday. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and grace and mercy to us. Amen.